Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form 10 Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the AMMA Masters Radio Show blog. We're so happy to be in your home tonight and on this Tuesday evening, and we're excited to share with you an interview and also a special guest that come into the show weekly. And we're also a new show. We give you information and all kinds of cool tidbits that's happening in America, in the sport karate world, in the martial arts world. And as we open our show, I'd like to say a special welcome to, I got a co-host. I actually have two co-hosts tonight. We're waiting on one of them, but tonight I have with me one of my past interviewers that I had, Miss Karen Slatcher. And Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am, Professor Lee. How are you today?
Good. Welcome to the show. This is going to be a really fun, interesting show. We're going to be talking about a lot of cool stuff. But also, I've got Dr. Keith Yates coming in a few minutes, and we're going to be talking about his 50 years in sport karate. But as I introduce people who you are, I'll bring you on in a few minutes, and you can actually share. Hey, Dr. Yates, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, you made it after class. How was class tonight? Good?
It was good. It was good. We were taking some pictures for my new book, so I had to get out of there and rush home, but I'm glad I'm here.
Good. I want to talk about the new book here. And by the way, I've got Karen Slatcher on the line to help us with this this history lesson that we're going to go through tonight. Karen is a product of Nishi Goju and Peter Urban and some really cool people. She's actually a Tai Chi, a Qigong master, considered to be a master.
Uh-huh.
She's Tai Chi. And she's a big fan of yours. She actually called
me. Yes,
in
I am.
Just to support you, Dr. Yates. But then I grabbed her and I said, well, you be a co-host too, because I'm going to be talking about a lot of cool things tonight that you guys can throw your 2 cents in on, and that's what I'd like to talk about. But before we do that,
for sure,
Yates and Karen, I'm going to make some announcements, and I'll bring you guys on in just a few minutes, okay?
Okay, sure.
Super. Just stay tuned, and we'll be back with Dr. Keith Yates and Sipu Karen Slatcher. Wow, what a cool show this is going to turn out to be. No, we're here
awesome.
In your home, and we're here because you've supported us for the past year. And right off the bat, I want to say a big thank you, a big oof, Alan Goldberg, and his contribution to showing us recognition this weekend at the Mega Martial Arts Weekend that he had at the Tropicana in New Jersey. As some of you probably know, if you've been living underneath the rock and you don't know, Alan Goldberg puts on one of the largest martial arts events in the world, and definitely in the United States. And he took time to honor Auntie Jessie Bowen, Karen Herdman, Mrs. Bowen, who does a spiritual show, and myself, and recognize the work we're doing with the AMMA Masters Radio Network. And we want to say thank you, Mr. Goldberg, very personally, and we mean that from the heart. Now, here's the thing also. If you just tuned in, our show is based upon a book called The Who's Who in the Martial Arts. And it started with a gentleman called Jan Wallenberg and Dale Brooks back in the 80s. And in that time period, it was very successful. I think they had two publications. And in the past few years, I'd say about 5, 6, 7 years ago, it's really been pushed by one of their students, who happens to be my producer for the radio show, Hansi Jesse Bowen. And the book now, The Who's Who in Martial Arts, is in its third edition. It's turned into a hardback. We're going into a whole new phase of it. But right now, every year, there's a banquet that supports it. There's a ring that members can be a part of. And also, it's a book that talks about your story. Not so much a book of how many things you've done or what you've accomplished, but about your story, how you became a martial arts instructor in America, not so much a master or grandmaster, but how you became an instructor, how you're influencing people every day in your life. We want that story. So for that information, if you'd like to get the book, you can go to Century Martial Arts and Fitness, which is our dear friends and sponsor for the show, and contact them. Barnes & Noble, that's right. Or you can go to Amazon.com, and you can actually type in Who's in the Martial Arts. But you know what? A lot of people like to do that personal test and call Jesse Bowen personally. And his number is 919-618-8075. Again, that's 919-618-8075. And, again, check out the book. It's really, really amazing. I'll tell you right now, we're going after something really exciting. If I'm not mistaken, there's about 28 states represented in the book right now. That means a little bit over half of America, country-wise, state-wise, has been a part of the book. I want to go after this year to have all 50 states represented somehow, a representation of each state. That's the Sport Karate Museum's goal and the goal of Hunter Jesse Bowen to make that happen for you. So please, if you're not in the book and you'd like to be interested, give me a call personally. And that's 713-483-0476. Or call Jesse Bowen at 919-618-8075. Thank you so much. Now, we had an event this year that was really, really exciting. And Dr. Yates was there, and Karen has been to these. It was called, actually, the Living Legends 25th Anniversary. And one of the amazing history generals, Mr. Alan Kelly, has made an amazing DVD, almost like a movie, that lists all the history generals and all the participation and covers the highlights of the event, handpicked by myself to make it happen. And to get this DVD, I'm going to give you the information. I'd like for you to get a pen and write down kickbass.ak@gmail.com. And that's spelled kickbass.ak@gmail.com. And if you email Mr. Kelly, they'll send you a DVD, and you can actually see this amazing event. They had Mr. Jim Harris and J. Pat Burleson, over 100 fighters from all across America, and the roasting of George Minshew, just an amazing group of individuals, all supporting the Sport Karate Museum. Well, you know, tonight we're talking about history, and we're going to be talking about a couple things. But before we talk about the Dragon Temple, which is the featured part of the show, I'd like to bring on someone very special. And I'm talking about Karen a little bit earlier as you were listening. This person is very special in the Sport Karate Museum history. He actually created a logo that you see, Skipper Mullins and Fred Wren on the patch with the American flag behind him. He actually created that with the vision that he had. And I'm talking about Dr. Keith Yates. So, Dr. Keith Yates, are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Well, you know, I want to, before we go into my talking about the Dragon Temple and how that was formed, about the first martial arts amusement park, I'd like to talk about you a little bit. You're celebrating something very special. You're celebrating 50 years in the martial arts. Congratulations. And something very special is coming up, and I'd like for you to talk about that a little bit. Tell me what's going on.
Okay, well, it's actually 50 years as a black belt, because I've been in the martial arts for like 53 years now. So,
Steve Martin would say, Dr. Yates, as Steve Martin would say, Dr. Yates, excuse me, I'm sorry. Go ahead. 53 years, absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I made a black belt in 1968, in October of 68, under Alan Steen. At the time, I think it was probably his youngest black belt at 17, because Mr. Steen didn't believe in giving kids black belts. I'm sure it rubbed him and Skipper Mullins and Fred Wren, who were on my test board. They were all going, what is this kid up here doing going for black belt? But I was fortunate enough to make it under Mr. Steen. And so I'm still teaching. Like I said, I just came back from class tonight.
Right.
And in fact, interestingly, we were taking pictures for my new book tonight. So I'm doing another book on Taekwondo.
I won't go through the book in just a moment. But let's talk about what you're doing to celebrate this 53 years or 50 years as a black belt. You're doing something very special in March, I believe, right?
on March 17th when my organization, which is the American Karate and Taekwondo Organization, has an awards banquet every year. But this year, since it's my 50th as a black belt, we're going to do special seminars and a fancy banquet and so forth. It's going to be in Dallas on March 17th. Seminars in the morning, I'll be teaching one on Bunkai, which is the breakdown of moves of kata. I've got one of my high-ranking black belts going to do one on footwork, and another fellow is going to do one on Oyo, which is the Japanese word really for application of kata. So it'll be kind of like three back-to-back seminars during the day with some very good material. So anybody, you can go on to aikido.org to sign up for it. But we'll have the seminars, and then we'll have the banquet at night. We got some special people coming. I think Mr. Steen will be there himself. I've invited Mr. Burleson, Pat Burleson, Skipper Mullins, who were my original instructors. You know, Steen, Burleson, and Mullins were the founders of Texas Blood and Guts Karate. So those are the people that I trained with. So all of those gentlemen should be there, along with some other people in the martial arts. So it should be a great occasion.
Well, that's exciting. And tell me more exactly where it's at, and how would people get involved in going there?
Well, the seminars were going to be at the YMCA building in Richardson, Texas, and that's where I teach. I just rushed home from the Richardson Y just now. So they've got a big gymnasium, so it'll be at the YMCA in Richardson. And then the banquet will be down near downtown Dallas because one of my black belts has a professional catering service and banquet facility. So it's going to be at the Empire Room just out of downtown Dallas. So if people are coming in from out of town, they can find a hotel and go to the Y for the seminars and downtown for the dinner.
Super, super. Now, you mentioned earlier you're a distinguished publisher, but you're actually writing a new book. Tell me about that.
Well, interestingly, my first book was called The Complete Book of Taekwondo Forms, and there were the Cheng Hong forms, or sometimes they're called the Chenji patterns, which are the forms that we originally did in our Texas style of Taekwondo. But that was done back in like 82. So everybody's been after me to update the book and do new pictures and so forth. But interestingly, as I started taking pictures of the book, all the students were going, nobody reads books anymore. So why don't you make it into a mobile app? So I'm still doing the book, but I've also am designing a mobile app. So on your smartphone, you'll be able to call up Chenji or Wanhyo, even like some of the Tangsudo forms like Basai and Sipsu. And we'll demonstrate them front and back views. And then you can click another button and go to some application of the forms.
That's very, very cool. That's very cool. Intricacy from a professor. That's what I think about when I think about Dr. PCA. But made it simple for just the student, because what's really cool about you, sir, is that you started as a child, so you understand the mentality of a child working his way up to get where they are today. I mean, who
knew
that when you're young that you're going to turn into a professor of theology and also a professor of martial arts? Pretty amazing. You know, the thing I like to talk about, Dr. Yates, is that your journey particularly has been really interesting, because you're one of these people that I really, when I talk about you, you share everything. You really have. You shared your knowledge and your history. And when I called you up about the idea of the logo, I was fishing. I hadn't really called anybody since my own, a couple of people, you know, Ken Newton and Dick Campbell, and God bless them, they were still here. And, of course, Mike's still alive, of course. But, you know, you took that responsibility, and you took the two fighters that you didn't mention Fred, but you mentioned Mr. Mullins, because they really epitomized for karate at that time. And you did something that right now, that logo is around the world. It's pretty cool. I mean, when I thought about how the beginnings was, how important is sport karate history in your vision of how Dr. Yates feels? And I'm asking Karen the same question. How important, Dr. Yates, is sport karate history? Not just history of martial arts, but sport karate history.
Well, I don't think the martial arts would have become as popular in the United States as they did without the sporting aspect. because martial arts was very mystical and mysterious to most people. And some people were even afraid of doing the martial arts because they'd be afraid that they were doing Eastern religions, Zen Buddhism, and so forth. But
yes,
let's
sir.
Face it, Americans love sporting events, as we have the Super Bowl coming up soon. And so by establishing karate tournaments, it became a popular draw for people. Unfortunately, karate tournaments never became as big as the Super Bowl, but still there were some pretty big tournaments back in the day. And Mr. Steen certainly had one of the largest ones in the United States. He started the United States Karate Championships. And some of the people that came through there were people like Bill Wallace and Chuck Norris and Joe Lewis, you know, the real icons of sport karate. And so
yes,
the growth of the martial arts in the United States occurred primarily through the sporting aspect of it.
Good answer. Karen, how do you feel about how important sport karate is, honey?
Well, I think it's very important. 1959, and I was very athletic, and there was nothing for me. There were no girls' baseball or basketball or anything when I was a kid. And I couldn't participate in anything in gym classes like that. There was just nothing. So when I had a chance to join a judo class, that was all that was around then, I jumped at it because at last I had a place that I could actually be physical and to develop talents in that. And when the tournaments came around, it was something that I stepped right into. But I wouldn't have stayed if I didn't have teachers that respected the history of women in the martial arts throughout history. And they made sure I knew it. And
my question is to both of you guys. How important is it that people remember an Alan Steen or a Joe Lewis or even a Chuck Norris?
It's very important.
I mean, how important is that? Okay. I agree. I understand. And I appreciate your guys' opinion. It means a lot. And with that said, by that statement from both of you, I'd like to go into the base of our program tonight, and that is the Dragon Temple. Now, I'm going to explain to you why it got that name and how it started. You know, this is before Dr. Yates created the logo and for the vision of the Sport Karate Museum. It all started with four men, and the vision of the Dragon Temple, first of all, to get the word dragon. As Dr. Yates mentioned earlier, some people were scared of the martial arts because it was mystical and used the terminology dragon as dealing with other parts of cultures. Well, we wanted to use the dragon, and I said the four of us, I'll introduce those four men in a minute, because, of course, Bruce Lee. And one of the things that I brought into the equation, I said, well, we have to ask permission, even if you use the dragon, even though it's universal, because it's his trademark. So with that said, there was four men that was brought together by their fate, and that was Lee Nessler. He was an architect, and he's actually an architect for an engineer for Disneyland. There was William Berry, who was the entrepreneur funding for the project, and there was myself, and then there was a gentleman named Michael James, who happened to be the editor of Inside Kung Fu at the time. The four of us put together an idea and a dream that we had to put together the very first martial arts amusement park, and we were going to call it Dragon Temple. And a lot of work involved, a year's work of just work, just getting that to be able to introduce to certain people, hundreds of letters endorsed by the martial artists around America, the land, of course. Everything was set. Everything was set to go. It was very close to introducing it to the public and to the world. And then we lost one of the four people, and it was Mr. Nessler. He took him to a heart attack. And with three of us now, we didn't really have that momentum of someone who would. Ironically, I had the blueprints that Lee had given me. I had that, but it still wasn't the same with Lee being gone. Michael, which I didn't know, but was working on a project called The Masters. It was a magazine that would feature a DVD and only deal with traditional masters of karate, which is very successful, and wow, it just turned out to be a great project. So Michael was working on that, and it left William Berry and myself. Mr. Berry, of course, was a world entrepreneur, and he decided to go into another adventure. Well, guess what? It left the Sport Karate Museum, which is going to be the middle of the amusement park, in the hands of a little Hawaii boy, me. and I had nowhere to go except to Alvin Steen, Mike Stone, Ken Knutson, Sid Campbell, Joe Corley, Michael DePasquale Sr. and Jr., Jerry Pittington, Sam Chapman. Yes, I had a few people to go to, and I went to them. And from those people I just mentioned, they helped me create the History Generals, helped me create the vision of a sport karate museum, and to honor individuals of the sport, the pioneers and legends that were created in America from 1946 when Robert Trias invented sport karate, was the first sport karate schools, per se, built champions like Artis Simmons and even John Keenan, who turned out to be Comp Dante, and other fighters, but still started the USKA, and there it just grew. And I celebrate those years, and particularly the heyday. And Mr. Yates, Dr. Yates, the heyday, would you say, is between 1974 to maybe 1986? What would you say the heyday is?
Yeah, you can go back. Excuse me, I just drank a cup of water.
Okay.
Well, Alan Steen, you know, beat Chuck Norris in 1966 for the internationals.
Right. Well, that was the start. So I'm talking about when he was starting to get popular and everybody was starting to talk about people. And, you know, what would you think, you know, the heyday period for that 15, 20-year period? Maybe breaking down even less, I don't know.
Yeah, probably started in the early 70s because even though, you know, Joe Louis and Skipper Mullins were all big fighters back then,
right,
the only people that were really interested were karate people. So by the time you got into the 70s, you had people like Bill Wallace and Ray McCallum who were traveling not only across the United States, but even in Asia and Europe and so forth. So there really became an international following for a lot of the sport karate people at that point. And then we're starting to be featured in Black Belt Magazine and stuff also.
Yes. Well, you know, to throw in, and we talk about this a lot when you and I talk, you know, on the phone, Murphy's Law. And for people who don't know what Murphy's Law is, it's just an old saying. It's what's going to happen when you don't expect it to happen, but if you're not prepared for it, it's going to kick your rear end. But
right.
I know people like yourself and myself, I'm sure like Karen, we prepared for Murphy's Law, and I did in my own way. I did. I was by myself now. I thought, would it be so cool if I could get 100 fighters? And that's what I shot for. And this was the first Living Legends in 1999. To put them together in one room, throw away the prejudice, throw away the cultures, just invite the best sport karate guys I could find. 1999 was the creation of the Living Legends, which we've done 26 now, but it was a start in the invention and the introduction of the Sport Karate Museum. And that might really change history because not only it was established as something that was going to happen, and now it's been almost 20 years later, but I got to throw this in. You mentioned earlier that Mr. Steen has never really supported the child black belt, and he never did until you, but here's something really special to me. Mr. Steen and Mr. Harrison never signed Charles Black Belt before certificate, and Garrett Lee, my son, was the first one that he signed, and that was very special. You know, that night was special, not only because the museum was introduced, but people like Fred Wren and Mr. Mullins and Mr. Daniel and Mr. Young and so many people and people around the country were there to see that we cared, and I say we, martial artists from the generation before them, cared enough to keep the history alive. Now, it's not just based upon an event that I do. It's based upon every producer and every person that's a history general of the Sport Karate Museum. And you say, well, it must be hundreds and hundreds. No, there isn't. We have 250 history generals, and we probably put in at least about 10 a time each year now because I've got a lot of people involved. Bill Wallace has stepped up, and I honor his event every year, and we put in 10. Every year at the Living Legends, we put in 10. There's an event in California that we put in a few people. So it's not mass producing. And you've got to have three things. You've got to have 30 years of history that the museum knows. And this is promises that I made to everybody, these guys I mentioned earlier. You have to donate something from your heart that's personal. It doesn't matter if it's a piece of paper or a sword or a D-top or anything that is personal that separates you from just a karate martial artist, but a sport martial artist. And then it can never be solicited. In other words, I'm not going to go out and get monetary gains for it to make money personally. That's not what it's about. It's about the history. So with that said, the Dragon Temple never came about. But because of that, a lot of things happened. And I'm going to mention two of them right now. One of them is our dear friend, Mr. Yates' dear friend and my friend. And I'm sure Karen is friends with him. I don't know if she's met him personally or not. But we're talking about Mr. Chuck Norris. Mr. Norris, in the early 90s, had a vision of going and helping inner school children and the former association called Kick Dreams Out of America. At the same time, I was doing Kids Expo and Six Flags all across America, that I thought it was such a great idea. And there's a gentleman named Jim McInville, who owns Gallery Furniture, one of the major entrepreneurs in the city of Houston. He was backing Mr. Norris, and he had actually contacted myself to help maybe get the word out. Well, to understand how I got involved with Mr. McInville, there was three people going around to the schools at the time. He was doing high schools, I was doing middle schools, and Mr. Montel Williams was doing high schools. And Mr. Montel Williams, for people who don't know, he was a talk show host. But before that, he was a jet fighter pilot. And he went around to high schools motivating kids to make decisions to get involved with positive things. Mr. McInville went around to high schools and then told his story about starting out with $1,000 and creating his empire for Gallery Furniture. And myself went around the elementary schools and the middle schools teaching kids about fishing and the education of where sport karate came from. That's how I got involved with Mr. McInville. So I went around literally from Mr. Norris to all the schools in the Houston area with a package that was formed by Mr. McInville and Mr. Norris to help introduce Kick Dreams Out of America. Since that time, of course, it's grown into a huge organization. It's helped thousands of kids do martial arts around Texas and the areas and the schools that Gina and Mr. Norris has done. And what they do is their basis is they hire the best karate instructors and they go into inner schools and they give kids a chance to do martial arts. Now, Dr. Yates, I know you're involved with Chuck. You're personal friends with him. You watch this program
grow. Well, interestingly enough, a week ago, not this last Saturday, but the Saturday before, I was the head judge at a Kickstart Kids demo competition here in Dallas.
Good.
We had 22 teams from a bunch of middle schools. I don't know how many middle schools, must have been 12 or 15. And so we sat, and for 3 hours, the kids came up and did demos, and we graded them. It was kind of like Dancing with the Stars, you know, where we had to grade them.
Wow.
And the top team, which was actually from Polk Middle School, gets to go down to Houston for the state competition. But it was just a real joy to see all of these kids, ranging all the way from yellow belts all the way up through black belts, to get up there and do their demonstrations in front of us. And they had music playing, and they were doing backflips and twirling weapons and breaking boards.
It's amazing what it's gone to. And I've got to get a
Big thing is, Gina. all these kids are from inner-city middle schools
who are
considered at risk. So these are kids who maybe have a troubled home life or, you know, they're underprivileged and so forth. And martial arts has given them something to give them discipline and self-respect. And, in fact, at the end of every demo, you know, they would all be yelling respect. So it was, it was really an exciting event.
Well, you know, I want to say this. I want to say a big shout-out to Ed Science, who was the actual original director. Mr. John Couric, who took it over from him, and, of course, Roy White. And now a big shout-out to Gina Norris, Mrs. Norris, for what she's done and created that atmosphere to make it so powerful. But my whole point in introducing that is that, again, I get the joy of talking about Mr. Norris because, as you know, and Karen knows too, he was a real karate superstar. He was doing things way before a lot of guys did in fight. He was doing the spinning back kick before that, and he was a real fighter. What people just think of him, though, as a movie star or as a TV personality. They don't realize that he was the real deal. And he was,
right.
he was an amazing fighter. And did you ever have the pleasure of watching him fight, Dr. Yates?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. In fact, in 1967,
cool.
I was still a brown belt. Chuck Norris and Mike Stone were coming in to Dallas for Mr. Steen's tournament. And the person that was supposed to pick him up from the hotel couldn't do it. So Mr. Steen called me and said, you have to run over to the airport, pick up Mr. Norris and Mr. Stone. So here I am, a 17-year-old kid, and I rushed over to Love Field and picked them up to take them to their hotel. And the thing I remember, obviously, I'm 17, I'm a brown belt, and Chuck Norris is the international champion coming in. He was just the nicest guy, and we talked, and he said, well, when are you going for black? Oh, later this year. Well, good luck, and so forth. And so that started just a 50-year friendship with Chuck Norris. So, not only is he a tremendous fighter, he's a tremendous individual.
Yes, he is. And you know, it's our show, and we're talking about history. I got to share this with you. I hitchhiked to the very first United Fighting Arts Federation tournament, California to Warren, Ohio. And I'd never seen snow before. And I got there late. And I remember writing the security guard a letter to give Mr. Norris personally, to give to him. And he didn't know me from the Hill of Beans. I was just a kid. And I did not even have socks. I was stuck in California on socks, and I'm in the snow now. And I'm at this tournament, and I'm late, and I send this note down by a security guard, and he gives it to Mr. Norris. Mr. Norris looks at it, and it changed my life because he could have went, no, we're already taken care of. But instead, he looked up at the stand, he saw me, and he pointed his finger and said, come on down. I changed clothes on the way down there. I had to go first in Kata, which was all these tuxedo guys. The judges were John Nitivadab, Ted Baller, Leo Fong, Aaron North, and Mr. North. And I took third place in Kata that day, but I really wanted to fight. I ended up taking third place in fighting, but here's the story that's really cool. I write my book, and that's, 30 years later. And Bubba is just a little tiny guy. He's now grown up now, but Bubba's tiny. And Mr. Norris is at a tournament here in Houston. I get past his security guard. Don't ask me how I do. And I give Mr. Norris a book. And I tell him the story of what I talked about going to Ohio. And he looked at that paragraph, and he said, Gary, I remember, just like that. And it just made me feel so cool. Remember, after all those years, he remembered a little kid hitchhiking from California to his first tournament. And that's very special to me. And, with that knowledge of what Dr. Yates has said and what I shared with you, you understand that the roots of the Sport Karate Museum and the History Generals is so deep. It's not just a fad. It's not just a social media thing. It's not just a website. It's not just a museum. It's not just things. It's the history that needs to be told about what America did. And remember this, we're all Asian influenced. We are. I know that. But sport karate was born in America. And that's why I believe that's important that we have shows like this. The Dragon Symbol will probably never come to life. Amusement park, martial arts amusement park, this Bill Wallace ride or Mr. Norris carousel or whatever, it may not come to life. But you know what? With this show, I am proud to introduce that software is alive. Software, computer, that's right. And right now we're being approached to actually form a Sport Karate Museum software game that you can actually go down Bill Wallace Boulevard. You can go down Joe Louis Avenue. You can go into Keith Gates Library of Knowledge. Whatever the museum wants to do. And you can physically walk down the streets and go into these buildings. Now imagine going into a J. Pat Burleson room, and there's nothing in there but history of J. Pat Burleson. Imagine, Dr. Yates, going into a Texas room. This is a virtual room reality on the computer. And there's all this history of Texas martial arts, including all the incredible things that you've donated to the museum that's on the wall. So what I'm saying is, that's the next step. And then it's a game. You go through, you pick up clues. all through these different rooms. You get the clues. You go up to a huge gate, and the gate is run by a gate master. And this gate master says, show me what you have, and you have to show him the clues. If you don't have enough clues, you have to go back and find the right clues, or you won't open the gate. What's behind the gate? Well, all the juicy history, all the amazing, incredible things that you've always wanted to know about sport karate and the history of martial arts is behind that gate. But unless you get all the clues, you're not going to be open the gate. And because it'll be upgraded, there'll be new stuff added and also new clues. For instance, say I don't have the spear that I needed to have. Well, you have to go back. You might go to a waterfall. You might see a tiger inside that waterfall. But beside that tiger, inside the waterfall, is a spear. How do you get the spear? Of course, you're going to have to pick a weapon to fight the tiger. You might use your empty hands. You might decide on the kama. You might decide on the sword. You might decide on the naginata. That choice is up to you. So that's where we're at. That's where we're going. What do you guys think about that idea?
Well, that's
I think
pretty
it's
cool,
fantastic.
Yeah. There was an old TV commercial a few years ago where these guys developed a video game where you fight Chuck Norris. Remember that? And
really?
So Chuck Norris finds out about it and actually goes to their apartment where they're playing the game. So just be careful. You know, you don't want to put on there so you can beat Chuck Norris because he might.
Oh, no,
I would
never do that. Dr. H, you know that. But I tell you, this is fun. This is fun. I love talking about this. This is parts unknown. I love talking about this. I'd say about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. No, it was a gathering. I'm sorry, 2012. I called up Mr. Norris, and I asked him if I could make a Dragon Image Fighting Award, and who would he give it to? He said Duke Kershaw and Danny Lane. I said, okay, I'll make it happen. I did it. And I put it out on the social media. One of the people who is, I guess, on the board of the Kick Drug or Kickstart didn't really know me or didn't know of me. All he saw was that I was advertising a Chuck Norris Dragon Image Fighting Award given to Danny Lane and Duke Kershaw. And he called a lawyer, not calling Chuck yet. He called a lawyer. So he called the lawyer, and of course the lawyer called me. I just, okay, fine. I'll call you back. Of course, I called Mr. Norris. And Mr. Norris said, quote, unquote, Gary, I'll take care of it. Bingo. Now, I'm talking about within one day, I get a call from the lawyer, and the lawyer says, Mr. Tate, don't worry about it. Done. So I sent the awards of Danny Lane and Duke Kershaw. I've mailed them to Mr. Norris to his ranch in Navasota. Mr. Norris got them to Danny Lane and to Duke Kershaw. So I've learned that out there in the world of the microscope, there's people out there that want to protect, but also don't understand the relationships you have with personal people. And
right.
I would never. That's just not my way of doing things without asking permission for anything. So I appreciate that, Mr.
Oh, well, doing that facetiously. I'm not accusing you of putting Chuck on there without his permission.
And besides that, you protect me. You protected me in the past, which, you know, I know, and you protected me in the future, and you protected me in the present. You're one of my best history generals. So that means a lot to me that you would say that publicly, and you would always know that you're there for me. Thank you so much.
I want to hear from Karen, and I want to hear from Karen, and I want to hear what project she's working on right now. Because when I was editor of Official Karate Magazine, she was one of the regular contributors, and she's just an excellent writer and full of martial wisdom. So I want to know what you're doing right now, Karen.
Well, I'm writing a book about Qigong and developing a daily personal practice for the masses, for people who don't know what Qigong is but need to find a place to do a quick morning routine to get themselves settled, and how I got there. And I'm calling it solo because you have to do all of this work on your own. As far as I'm concerned, you can join classes and do everything and have someone lead you, but if you can't make yourself get up and go to that class and practice on your own, it's never going to come out. It's never going to happen. So I'm talking to a lot of the ladies that I have met over the years and a lot of the men who have 10 minutes in the morning, and that's about it. And I'm developing a book that just shows them how to take that 10 minutes and turn it into gold and set them up for the rest of the day.
Wow.
That sounds great. That's terrific.
Hey, Karen,
well, thank you.
I've got to ask
thank
you a question. How do you transfer the mentality of teaching Tai Chi, and I know Tai Chi Chuan, which is a combat Tai Chi, but how do you transfer that to someone who comes in and wants to learn self-defense as much as, say, as aggressive as karate or taekwondo? How do you transfer that person's mind to teach him that even though you're doing soft techniques, it'd still be self-defense-wise? How do you transfer that?
Especially taking someone who did, like, say, hard style martial arts like I was. I was Shorinryu and Goju and a fighter.
Yeah.
I was a kickboxer. And it was the best thing I ever did was to learn Tai Chi and Qigong because it doubled my power. It made me better. So I can speak to them when they come in and talk like, this is stupid or this is what you do when you get old. And then I show them the difference between the power of hard and soft and how if you are soft, you can be harder than the hard guy next to you. And it makes you a more intuitive fighter. And it also makes you a calm person, a person that can totally control themselves quickly, like almost flipping a switch, boom, relaxed, totally in the present time and totally aware. And it's just, it takes work. You have to work at it. And my students always say, my tombstone's going to say, you have to do the work. Because if you don't do it, I can't do it for you.
I'm really excited about having Dr. Yates on the show tonight because I got a subject I want to talk about that deals with history. And I know that he is very much opinionated on this because I am, and I'm sure you are too, Karen. There's an organization in Texas which started in 1978. And it's called the Amateur Organization of Karate. And it was started by a few gentlemen, particularly Roy Kerbin, Ishmael Robles, George Minshew, Jose Santa Maria, Mickey Fisher, and I might have left out one person or two, I don't know, Al Francis, I believe. And through the years, it has grown. And a lot of the promoters have stayed with it and gone through the changes and gone through the different leagues like TNT, NBL, SKI, all these different leagues have come and gone. And some of them are still here, but still the AOK is still strong. I went to the state this year, over 500 competitors, over 1,000 people there. It was amazing. What I want to share with my listeners is that this year there was a conflict of interest and also a new president. That new president is a man named Mr. D.E. Chambers, who I've known since he was a intermediate young man, and I think he's won actually 4 or 5 Golden Greek Awards. He's an amazing individual. But now he's the president. And he basically called me up, I guess, a week after the event, and he said, Mr. Lee, there's a couple changes. I want you to be aware of it because, you make things happen for other people, and I know you're passionate. First thing is that we've lost a few producers, but we've gained a few producers. And I said, well, who are some of you gained? He said, well, we've got Mr. Zufi Ahmed now. Amazing man. We've got Tony Torres now. I said, well, who'd you lose? He said, well, and he mentioned the names, and I said, well, goodness gracious, that's pretty amazing. But what else have you got to tell me? He says, well, I hope you're heading on to your seat because we've outlawed groin kicks. I said, you've done what? We've outlawed groin kicks. I said, well, for 20 years, that has been the foremost controversial thing with Texas and in point karate is kicking the groin. And he said, Mr. Lee, I know you're outspoken, but how would you explain yay or nay on groin kicks? And I didn't have to think about it. I said it quickly, and I want your opinion on this. I'm going to tell you what I said to him. I said, Mr. Chambers, you make a living teaching karate, correct? He said, yes, sir. I said, imagine a father sitting across from you, and he's got 3 kids he's going to enroll. He's fixing to write you a check. And he's got a son and 2 daughters. And he's about ready to sit down and make a commitment to the karate school that you teach. And he looks at the wall and the room, and there's all these trophies. And he says, Mr. Chambers, goodness gracious, do you guys do point competition in karate while I see on TV? He says, yes, we do. Well, who do you support? He says, well, I support the AOK, the Amateur Organization of Karate, and it's one of the largest, blah, 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 blah. He says, that's great. Can you tell me some of the rules, Mr. Chambers? And Mr. Chambers goes, well, it's a point to the body, and there's no contact to the face unless you're brown belt or higher. Probably bummer. All the kicks are allowed, and you're allowed to kick the groin. What? You're allowed to kick the groin area, the private area. What? Say that again. Oh, wait a minute. Let me make this clear. You get a point for kicking someone in the private area? And, of course, he goes, yes. Well, wait a minute. I don't understand that. Well, is he allowed to kick someone else in that private area? Oh, yes, he'll get 2 points for that if he kicks. He gets one punch. He gets 1 point if he punches, though. Wait a minute. I don't understand this. You mean if my son, and he's only 7 years old and he competes, and he punches somebody in the groin or kicks somebody in the groin, he'll get awarded for it? Yes. Wait a minute. My daughters, if they compete, are they allowed to hit that private area too? Yes. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to get my kids in gymnastics. When I explained that to him on that level, he understood, because that's really explaining it. And that's what parents are dealing with today, who are going and supporting an event that allows groin kicks. Your opinion, Dr. Yates, your opinion, Karen?
Well, I completely understand that. I mean, you know, obviously I came up in the blood and guts days where
yes,
not only you were allowed to hit in the face, even if you were a white belt, but
yes.
Certainly we introduced the safety pads. We put in rules, no contact rules and so forth. I remember a few years ago I was in Minnesota teaching tournament techniques, and I was talking about kicking to the groin. They said, well, we're not allowed to do that. And I said, well, I'm from Texas. We kick to the groin there. And so in one sense, you know, you want to say, oh, yeah, you know, you're from the old Texas blood and guts days. Of course you kick to the groin. But I certainly understand the concern, especially with young people today, about injuries. I mean, look at all the controversy right now over football and concussions, and even
yes,
in games like soccer and lacrosse. I've got three grandsons that are in lacrosse right now. One of them broke his arm 2 weeks ago in a lacrosse game. And, you know, it's a tough thing these days. You don't want kids to get hurt.
Well,
so I completely understand. And frankly, I would even say I support it for kids. Now, maybe for black belts, you know, I still allow groin kicks because they supposedly have the knowledge to be able to control a technique. But I certainly understand it. I would support it for little kids.
Well, you know, today's parents and today's economy, and it's tough no matter who you are, they budget themselves and they want their kids involved with baseball, tennis, basketball, all the sports that will help develop them into a man or a woman. Karate
right.
is a huge sport. Everybody wants to do it. The mystical part is kind of gone unless you go to a traditional school. But still, everybody wants to do it. And so the parents who have a budget who want to spend, and if I'm not mistaken, karate now is an average of $100 a month in a lot of karate schools for 2 days a week. So people are making money at it, and that's cool. But I'm saying is the parents are not going to spend their money in four or five different sports, especially if one sport knows that their child could get hurt or their child could viciously do it purposely to hurt someone in an area or part of the body, which is sort of taboo, you know, when you think about it in any other sport. What other sport, Dr. Yates, allows you to get points for kicking the private area or touching the private area? Think about it.
No, exactly.
So, yeah, so, you know, and Karen, your opinion. I don't want to leave you out, honey. Your opinion.
My opinion is that it just doesn't make sense anymore to take that chance. And why hurt someone? And also that, and say the throat punches, we don't allow them either because they're just too
right.
dangerous right now. And you do have to protect them. They're finding out that the concussions are there and they take a while to show up. The same thing would be with groin injuries for men and women. I've been kicked there, and
right.
I'm telling you, it's very painful, and it can damage. So why?
It's not
why
even
do
having
that?
A
why
cup
add that
there?
In there?
Karen, it's not even having a cup there for the breast or even for the groin area. It's the fact that you're allowed to hit that area, and you get points for it. Okay?
Right.
That's, I see, yeah. Encourage the trial, encourage the competitor that he will win something by doing that. Now, again, I don't want to sound contradicting because I lived for the groin back then. I backfisted the groin. I'll be honest with you. I dropped the groin. But it's 2012, and here's my 2018. But here's my point, Dr. Yates. 2020, we're in the Olympics, bro. We're in the Olympics. So that means everybody's going to be looking at 2020 and our representation of being in the World Games for the first time. And it's not Taekwondo. It's Karate Do. That means there's going to be allowed punching, kicking, sweeping, breakdowns,
right.
Everything except the groin shot. But everybody's geared toward the safety factor, but also Karate Do to be introduced. That's my next question, asking my visionaries, which is you and Karen. How do you feel about going into the Olympics in 2020 and being represented? Because Taekwondo's been all represented all these years, but it's not been really fighting and karate. How do you feel about that, and how positive that is that?
Well, hopefully they'll have kata competition as well as kumite.
They will.
Because that's where you really
see. Two divisions. Right.
That's where you really see the art. Because I think what happened to Taekwondo when it got into the Olympics, well, besides the corruption in some of the leadership
right.
and so forth, is that it took it so far afield and they had so many different restrictions that it was no longer entertaining. I mean, I even know most martial artists won't even watch Olympic Taekwondo because it's boring.
Don't you feel that the world will find kata mesmerizing? I mean, I think it's going to knock the socks off of people when they see real kata. I really do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Kata. Yeah. Karen, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I think it's a thrill because back in the 80s, my daughter wanted to be in it. I think it was George Anderson that was desperately trying to get into the Olympics back then.
In 1993, I won a gold medal at the USKF in Dallas because we all thought we were heading toward Olympic dreams, but, it's taken a long time.
Exactly, and my daughter was willing. So we followed it. We really want – I think it's amazing, and I think it would be a really, really big, wonderful thing to add to –
Well, Dr. Yates, I got to ask you a part unknown question, honey. I got to ask you – I just called Dr. Yates, honey. I'm sorry. But listen, I got a question to ask you. Think about this for a minute. They're having the Games 2020 in Japan. They haven't – accepted the fact that that Japanese karate would be introduced yet. Can you imagine that board meeting when they're introducing, it's going to be in Japan, they're going to have Taekwondo there and not have Karate Do represented? I'd love to be at that meeting to see what went on
right.
at that meeting. Wouldn't you? Golly bum.
Well, there's
but
all kinds of stuff
that
goes on behind
venue.
The scenes. Yeah.
The trainers
right,
are going to be having something to train them for on a worldwide level.
Yes.
It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. I
Dr.
love it.
How many schools do you think are going to, and I don't like to use this word, but I'm going to say it. How many schools do you think that would fraudulently say they're involved with the Olympics and advertise that you can train there and you have an Olympic dream? Do you think that's going to happen like they did with Taekwondo years ago?
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, yeah, obviously it also happened with Taekwondo. They really pushed the Olympic angle.
Right.
But they do that in any sport. I mean, whether it's boxing or gymnastics or something, it's like you can be in the Olympics. But let's face it, I mean, one half of 1% are ever going to be good enough to be in the Olympics. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't hold that out as a goal to people because I think it's a worthwhile goal. But, yeah, it's tough to say that we are, you look at a lot of Taekwondo schools and especially, I hate to say it, the Koreans and so forth, they're all national Korean champions who were Olympic champions, and that's just not so. So,
I remember
that's
the Koreans
rampant
would walk
in the
around
arts.
On the back of the uniforms. Korean, even the white guys, and I say this, the white guys underneath the Koreans, they would walk around and geese on the back of their geese and say world champions. They would say former world champion or something. I don't know. It's crazy. Who does that? So, I'm excited about the Olympics, but I'm also I'm bewildered about the fact is this. How do you qualify? And if you get some inside scoop, Dr. Yates, about where the qualification is going to be or your trials, let me know. I'd like to know about it. I'd like to see where it is. I'd even try to go there and watch it to see who would qualify
sure.
for it.
Well, a good person to talk to is Herb Perez, because he's been heavily involved in Olympic Taekwondo movement, and he's got some real strong opinions. I just recently did an interview with him and an article in a magazine and stuff. You should try to get him on your program sometime to talk about some of the ins and outs of the Olympics and the possible problems that Taekwondo had that foreshadow perhaps some of the problems that karate could have if they're not careful.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we have to protect it. And guys, gentlemen like yourself and ladies like Karen, you're very important to me as a history general. With that said, I got to pay some sponsors. I'll be back in about 5 minutes or a few minutes. Stay tuned and stay on because we're going to come back and finish the show up. Okay, guys?
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. I'll be right back. Hey, we're with Dr. Keith Yates. Wow. Historian, incredible author, and celebrating 50 years in sport karate, in martial arts or karate in general, on his upcoming event in March. And also the sister Karen Slatcher, and we'll be back with them in just a few minutes. And we're talking about a couple of things tonight. We're actually talking about history. And, you know, I'm very proud of my association with Texas, as most of you know that follow me. Not only a Golden Greek winner, but inducted into the Texas Martial Arts Hall of Fame. And, of course, I want to protect the heritage that Mr. Yates talked about, Mr. Sting, Mr. Mullins, Mr. Wyman, all the incredible people that established Texas martial arts. And I give you my word, through the Sport Karate Museum and the efforts of my history generals, that's what we'll do. Well, I'd like to talk about an event that's coming up pretty soon that we did last year. It's September the 28th and 29th, and it's kind of old news for you people who are listening. And of course, it's called Kata Wars. It's the Living Legends Celebrity Roast, and we're roasting Mikey Rowe Moore this year. But we're introducing something really cool, and my mentor today called me, which is Judge Roy D. Kerbin. And Mr. Kerbin is a friend of the show and a friend of Dr. Yates, too. And he gave me the advice that I needed and always do, so this is what I've decided to do. We are going to introduce something that's not really new, but it's new to America, and it's called the Tag Team Black Belt Matches. I'm going to add the flair of the Sport Karate Museum and call it the Battle of the Sexes. Let me explain. We're going to invite four male fighters, two male fighters a team, two male fighters a team, and they'll face each other in a tag team point match. And then we're going to invite four female fighters, two female fighters on a team, two female fighters on a team, and they will fight a point match. The winner of that team, of the women's team, and the woman and the man's team winner of the four-man match, they will form a team, and in 2019, they will defend the title and be the Battle of the Sexes. So it's a two-year event to build up. Interesting, because the first thing that Mr. Kerbin said, Gary, you can't mix wrestling tag team with competition sport karate. And I said, Mr. Kerbin, let me explain. And when I explained it, Mr. Kerbin goes, Gary, that's a good idea. So I'm going to do it with the Sport Karate Museum's blessing. We're going to have the first and ever only tag team black belt matches and the Battle of the Sexes. A man and woman won't fight like they did with Betsy Ross and Joe Hess back in the day, or what they did when a man got in the ring with a woman. We're not going to do that. I mean, we don't believe in that. But we are going to have the Battle of the Sexes in the sense of creating something really cool. So stay tuned, and always knowing that the Sport Karate Museum is always going to come up with great ideas, like we introduced Bubble Kumite last year. And a big shout out to Bill Wallace, big shout out to Jeff Doss, a big shout out to Jim Buten, who all adopted Bubble Kumite and have all bought bubble machines for their little kids, 10-year-olds and younger, and creating Bubble Kumite across America. Well, thank you. Maybe we can do the same thing with these tag team black belt point matches. Who knows? The Sport Karate Museum is alive and well, and we thank you for your support. Stay tuned. September the 28th and 29th, the Battle of the Sexes, the roasting of Mikey Rowe Moore, the Women's Symposium, and Kata Wars. Well, back with my special guest tonight, Dr. Keith Yates and Ms. Karen Slatcher. I guess you guys, unless you went and got a coffee break, you heard me introduce the tag team Battle of the Sexes introduced at the Sport Karate Museum this year. Any forethoughts on that?
I love the idea.
That sounds exciting.
You know what?
What you really need is quality fighters, you know, quality production.
Yes.
That's one of the things
we did at the Potter Wars, Dr. Yates. We hand-picked.
Right.
You know, the fighters that were 100 first pleasures are more. Same thing with fighters. But that's a good point, Dr. H. That's a really good point. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Make them quality fighters. And I want to ask a public opinion from you and Karen. Should it be the two fighters playing like a chess game against the other two fighters, or should I allow a coach be in there?
A coach?
Yeah, let a,
oh,
let
I see
a
what
coach
you're
be a coach be a part.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I think
here's
traditional.
Mr. Kirby brought this up. He said, Gary, if you add a coach and the coach stops the time, that's gonna be time consuming of the 3 minutes, because I'm making it 3 minutes because it's only one fight.
Right.
Because if you do it this way and let the fighters decide to tag themselves and not make a coach, then it'd be more exciting and it'd be a chess match between the two teams. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think continuous sparring, is much more exciting than stopping and calling points and so forth. Again, as long as the judges are qualified, boxing match.
So after the fight, you say don't do a point fight, but after the fight, you have the judges do it like a continuous thing or do it clickers. Help me, Obi-Wan. Help me.
Well, you know, like they do in boxing. You know, at the end, you know, one judge scores it 42, the other judge scores it 41.
Right, right.
I think you would have.
You know what I love, Dr. A? I love creating ideas and having people like you and Karen create it right there in front of the world, so people realize that it's not just a flim-flam idea. You know, it's something that is created because of history. So,
well,
I like
gonna
it.
Have two
and I'm gonna call
fighting.
You personally on this too. Yes, ma'am.
I think that you ought to have rounds, maybe three rounds. If you got two people
fighting,
no, 3 minutes
isn't showing
anything.
That's too many. That's too many. There's
three
too
minutes
many rounds.
Isn't gonna show
I'll
anything.
Debate that. Well, maybe two rounds, two-minute rounds. I might do that. But I've got time consuming too, guys. Remember, I've got a main show, a Living Legends Awards. You guys been to my event. You know what it's like. It's damn packed. So I can only set aside at the very most 15, 20 minutes. 20 minutes, maybe. So I can't have rounds, I don't believe. But, man, I'm going to bug your heads about this, Dr. Yates, in the
sure.
next couple months. And because your opinion is so important to me. We've talked about a lot tonight. And I want to stay focused toward a couple things. One is that you're having a huge event in March. Say that date again, Dr. Yates.
March 17th. Seminars in Richardson and a big banquet in downtown Dallas.
And the number to call you about getting tickets or how to get the tickets?
Well, you can go to akato.org for organization. So the Akato organization, all the information is on the website.
And your book will be published when and where and when will it be debuted?
Well, the book will be ready by March 17th. So I'm getting ready to send it off to the printer. The mobile app containing the first five kata will be ready also, so you'll be able to download that. That comes with the book. And then we're working on a premium app where I'll have the advanced black belt kata, maybe even some weapon stuff, some other bunkai and so forth. So it's going to be a cool but time-consuming and expensive project, but I'm having fun with it.
Wow, and I really can't get one of my favorite books, so I got to plug it because I love it. You did a book a few years ago with a mouse. I got to plug that a little bit. Tell me a little bit about that so people, maybe kids that are listening or parents of kids who want to get their kids involved with martial arts. This is a great book to do it with. Tell me about that book a little bit.
It was called Young Samurai, and it's about a little mouse that's getting picked on at school. So he comes home to his mother, and he wants to take a martial arts lesson. So they check out different dojos. They find old mouse sensei, and so he trains little mouse in the martial arts, and at the end of the book he faces down the rat bullies, but he defeats them without actually hurting them, which is the whole purpose of martial arts self-defense, which kind of goes back to what Karen was talking about. You know, once you learn how to control yourself and calm yourself, that's half the battle right there.
Absolutely. Well, you know, don't go anywhere. I'm going to mention some of the people that I'm going to be bringing on the show. in the next coming few months. So I'll be right back with you guys. I want to mention that our next show is February 6th. Will be Dana Stamos and the inventor of the USA Dojo and so much more. This lady has done so much more for all of us in her journalism and the vision of the martial arts. She is a dedicated writer, editor, producer, put together an information network like no other in the world of communication. We will talk of the beginnings to the present and our new adventures of advertising in the martial arts world. If you love martial arts, please visit some of her websites, starting with usadojo.com. February 13th, wow, this is a great show. You know, the big rage across America is registration. And registration is a controversy within the group. One of the major groups that do registrations for Children's America is called Eventix Labs. And we're going to bring in the owner, Maurice Greenberg, for the interview and talk about what he's done in the past year to bring some of the best NASCA NBL tournaments into the new art of registration. And then we'll come on February 20th with, I told Karen, we're bringing in Ashada Kim and the Black Dragon Fighting Society. Hey, guys, the controversy, the mystery, the legendary dance of death. That's right. And the interview. That's right. Pretty exciting stuff. And then, of course, hey, we got Roger Green on February 27th. This is Joe Louis's, rest in peace, first black belt in America and legendary fighter of the 1970s and the Tracy's Organization leader. He was a mentor to many. He still is. And original history general for the Sport Karate Museum. We'll sit down and we'll talk about his journey in the martial arts and his loving relationship with Mr. Lewis and Sport Karate. March 6th, we had back to Texas with a great guy, one of the leaders of the AOK in the early years, Mr. Joe Gillum, one of the pioneers of Texas. Mr. Gillum has been a leader in Texas Sport Karate in the past 40 years, a fighter of championship attitude. He has trained with the best and coached his students to the best, too. He was part of the management of the AOK in the 80s and helped make change in Texas Sport Karate for a positive impact on kids and adults. March 13th, Bill Wallace, Don DeVries, and Richard McClain, the Bill Wallace Superfit World Championship. March 13th, talking about that great event coming up in April. March the 20th, a real barn burner of a show. Daryl Stewart, Jeff Doss, Dean Piles, and Billy Sweeney talking about the it's even hard for me to say, but I'm going to say it. The National Black Belt League, where it was, where it is, and where it's going with the new president, Jeff Dodd. Very interesting show. We'll be talking about everything, parts unknown. March the 27th, one of the great entrepreneurs of sport karate, Mr. Buddy Hudson. One of the great ATA black belts to come out of Fort Worth, Arkansas. April 3rd, Jerry Trimble, the original pioneer and kickboxer out of Atlanta, who now is a movie actor and star, best known for his famous acting portrayal as a detective with Al Pacino in Heat. We'll have Jerry Trimble April the 3rd. April 10th, I'm excited, world champion John Chung. Wow. That's right, on the show talking about his luxurious career. People have said, critics have said, the very best black belt traditional kata competitor ever. April 17th, we're looking at Mr. Carl Napovics, one of the great kata competitors and personal statement, and live with Mr. Joe Louis. We got Mr. Steve Melton from Texas. Dr. Ted Gabardello is coming in May the 1st. Hey, May 8th, we got Mikey Rowe Moore, Sharon Spermich Wong, Tammy Hendrickson, and Kathleen Kapuskin, all top fighters from the 70s. Karen, I know you'll like that show. We'll be talking about women, and more women from the 70s. May 15th.
And that's my birthday.
My favorite mentor and history general, one of the great guys, father of PKA, Mr. Joe Corley. I'm going to stop there because, this show is going off the hook with everybody calling wanting to be on the show, but I'm having so much fun. I'm having more fun than a black book should, Dr. Yates. I just don't know what to do. I'm having so much, such a good time. You know, I'm going to close out with a statement from you, Dr. Yates, and also from you, Karen, and it's a very simple question. If someone was to walk up to you and say, I've heard about you, I've read your book, I've heard about you, I've heard some of you on the radio show with Gary Lee, tell me what I need to do to get involved in martial arts. What would I do? What would you suggest to tell that person, Dr. Yates?
Well, so many times people come up to me and they want to know where they can take a specific martial art. Maybe they saw a Steven Seagal movie and they're enthralled with Aikido, or they're a fan of Jet Li and Bruce Lee and want to do Kung Fu. And my advice is to find the best instructor you can, whether it's Taekwondo or Aikido or Judo, because ultimately what you want to do is be able to learn from somebody that, you respect as an individual. And if they're a good martial artist, you know, there's an old Funakoshi saying, the art doesn't make the man makes the art. And so I would say to start looking around to different schools, talk to the instructor, see what their personal style is, talk to students and parents of students, and, find the best individual, the best fit for you, regardless of whether it's, you know, Hungar or Tang Sudo or whatever. So you just want to find the best instructor. And I would say go ahead and do that, because it will change your life.
Wise words from a wise instructor. Karen, give me your input. If someone walked up to you and wanted to take Tai Chi or Shorin Karate-Do.
Well, I can't do any better than what we just heard with Dr. Yates. That was fabulous. I think I would ask, what is it, what do you want to do? I mean, there are fighters and there are people who are being bullied. There are people who are looking to get in shape. It would, a lot of it would matter. And I would say, talk to me a little bit. And actually take the time to find out why they're looking for a school. And then, as Dr. Yates said, direct them to the safest and best, not the most expensive, but the man that's done the work, or the girl, the female that's been out there working and deserves to have a good student come to them. You know, there's a lot of people that are working really hard and have little small dojos that aren't fancy, but they're great teachers. And they're the ones that deserve a chance to someone come in.
Good point. We've come a long way from a little 1,000-square-foot area and charging $25 a month, if we charge that at all. And, you know, I want to thank, personally, my history generals that support the Sport Karate Museum, but particularly you, Dr. Yates, publicly. Thank you for what you've done for the Sport Karate Museum and the vision that you've had to help me guide and make the right decisions for these years. And thank you, Karen, for your belief in me also. But,
you know,
Dr. Yates, as I say to a lot of people, you're one of the good guys. God bless you, Dr. Yates. I mean that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure talking to you, and it was a pleasure meeting you for the first time, Karen, down in Houston, even though we have communicated online for years. It was a pleasure to meet you, and it's a pleasure to be with you here tonight.
Thank you. I am so honored. When Professor Lee asked me if I would help, you know, stay on the line, I said, absolutely. I owe him so much, and I do.
Can I say something, please? When you guys get famous and you decide to do a big event, can you make me the best middleman in America, please, award? Oh, that's the only award I've never gotten. You know, I've hung all these Hall of Fames and all this stuff, but I want a best middleman in the world. And you guys prove it, because I put you guys together. God bless you guys. Thank you. So,
you definitely will.
Remember that now. Remember that when you make awards. I need a special middleman in America award, okay?
All right.
You know I'm kidding.
I want you to write on the cover of my book, okay? You can do a promo, and I will say the best middleman in America.
So people really understand. When people are passionate, like Dr. Yates and you, Karen, and I am passionate, we do things for other people. And that's really the benefit of being gifted with this gift that we have of memory, to be able to write, to be able to be on a radio, to be able to have people support you. Is that we do things for other people, and we make things happen for other people to make them smile and realize that they're important. And that's really the goal of what I want to do with this show, and to teach history. And you guys tonight did that for me. Thank you so much. And so, with that said, if anybody would like to support or see what we do, please go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org. You can call me directly at 713-483-0476. Or email me, and next week we'll be back with our email with Dr. Dana Samus, And you can contact me at ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com. On behalf of the AMMA, Masters Radio, Pioneers and Radio Show, Conchi Jesse Bowen in the Houston Martial Arts, we say good night. We thank you. Mahalo and aloha.
Hi, it's Joe Corley with a quick offer for all of our friends here at the AMAA. As you know, we never get a second chance at our first impression. So for those of you who could use some help with your first impression on your Facebook pages, on Instagram, and on your website, we're offering a special discount here from our social media marketing warriors team. Take a note if you can and check Facebook at Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors page. Take a quick look at some of our videos, then reach out to me on Messenger and I'll be happy to put together a personalized sample video for you so you can see what the high definition video will look like online. That's Joe Corley's Social Media Marketing Warriors, and in your message mention AMAA discount. I look forward to speaking soon. All the best.